It's 7 years on and still Syria is mired in a war for its future, a war that is reshaping geopolitics. Rebel forces have suffered many defeats, but the Assad government with its allies continues to do battle, and it's particularly fierce in Idlib province and in the Damascus suburb of eastern Ghouta, where the humanitarian situation is dire. Despite it all, some civilians are determined to stay in their country.
It's a horrific situation in here, full of pain and misery. They're bombing us with everything they have: airstrikes, artillery, mortars. People are crying their eyes out. They're losing their children and relatives on a daily basis. My dad, who raised me, has died.
A young man named Mohammed, living in eastern Ghouta, speaking to the BBC. Meanwhile, the UN is attempting to get an agreement to allow humanitarian aid into the worst-hit locations and some of the more serious medical cases out. Bob Bowker is a past Australian ambassador to Syria and is adjunct professor at the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at the Australian National University. Bob Bowker, thank you for your time. The various opposition forces in Syria have been gradually ground down by the war, but Idlib province and the Damascus suburb of eastern Ghouta remain scenes of significant fighting. First to Idlib, what's the importance of the conflict there?
Well, what we're seeing after 3 years of being forced out of Idlib, the regime is now positioning itself to recapture that province. It's initially focused on recapturing Abu Dhur air base, and it's, I think, preparing not only to strengthen its perimeter in that region, but also to allow for substantial offensive further down the track. And that, of course, is causing great anxiety on the part of Turkey, which has assets in Idlib that it's been keen to protect.
Yes, and the Turks are also wanting to try to bolster peace efforts, aren't they? I think they're behind an effort that's due to come up in a few weeks' time.
Well, there's considerable discussion going on between the Turks and the Russians at the moment over who should attend the conference, and in particular whether the Kurds have an invitation. The Turks have insisted that the YPG Kurds are not going to be invited. The Russians are saying that the question remains open. And this, I think, then relates into this whole question of what's happening in Idlib, because the Russians not only want to be seen to be the preeminent player in terms of bringing about some sort of political process now that the conflict itself is winding down, but the Turks have been, I think, accused of playing a spoiling role so far as the efforts of the Russians and the Syrians to reassert control is concerned. When the Turks deployed to Idlib, they did so in conjunction with the al-Qaeda force known as Hizbullah Tahrir al-Sham. And the Russians in more recent days have found that the capacity of Turkey to prevent attacks on Russian assets, air assets and so on, and drone attacks on Latakia and Tartus has not really measured up to what the Russians would want. So I think they're trying to put the Turks in a bit of a squeeze, both toward the negotiations coming up in Sochi, but also insisting that the Turks be more active in preventing threats to the Russian presence at Hamam Air Base and in these other places that matter very much to the Russians.
Mm. And we should just mention the suburb of eastern Ghouta. Is there a strategic purpose for the ongoing siege of that area?
I think it's really a case of the regime being determined to break the resistance of the civilian population. Militarily, it still doesn't have the capacity to go in and take the area. But I think that it is determined, as it will be over the rest of Syria in due course, to force the submission of those who are not at this stage willing to knuckle under. The humanitarian consequences of that are enormous, of course. We are likely to see that sort of process continue over the course of this year.
Mm. Earlier this week, Syria's army said that Israel had attacked several military outposts near Damascus, jets and then ground-to-ground missiles apparently launched from the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. What is Israel's interest here?
I think the Israelis are trying to work with the Russians to establish that as this conflict winds down, there will not be a significant presence on the Golan of either Hezbollah or the Iranian-backed militias. But in addition to that arrangement, which I think they are currently almost at, there is a long-standing strategic Israeli interest in preventing the supply to Hezbollah through Syria of anything which could impact upon Israeli air superiority over Lebanon and over Syria. So whenever there is an opportunity for the Israelis to take what they regard as preemptive action in that regard, then they will do so. And I don't think that that is a destabilizing factor. It's very much part of how the system's been run for a decade or more.
And we mentioned peace talks earlier. They have so far failed to get anywhere. Do you see any prospects of a breakthrough?
No, I don't really. I think that the Russians are less interested in finding a political solution than many people might hope. Their primary concern is presenting themselves as being the ultimate arbiter of these political processes. And frankly, if the Turks were to threaten to walk away from that process, it would not advance the Turkish interest to do that. There is no other process in prospect that could actually produce an outcome into which all the major respectable parties could buy in. And so we have to maintain, if you like, a polite fiction that the Sochi talks are worth something, even if the advances that they make are incremental and subject, of course, to developments on the ground, such as we're seeing in Idlib.
Bob Bakker, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Linda.
Bob Bakker is a past Australian ambassador to Syria, is also at the Australian National University.